Pastor Ray Bentley helps us put first things first.
I believe that the focus of the Father for us and for the church in this moment, in this hour, with all the craziness going on in the world, more than building things and accomplishing things and doing things, our Father's heart is that not one would be lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost and have the hope of eternal life. Amen?
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. In chapter 11 of Acts, there's a shift in strategy in the preaching of the gospel. We'll discuss that today. But the outcome is found in verse 24, and a great many people were added to the Lord. That's the goal, then and now. Let's see how we can follow in the footsteps of the disciples.
Well, the title of the message is A New Stream of Ministry. And of course, the gospel started in the city of Jerusalem. But as Jesus told his disciples, guys, here it's going to start, because this is where I came. This is where I was sacrificed, crucified, buried, rose, and ascended up into heaven. It all happened in Jerusalem. But the gospel will not remain here, and I'm going to send you out. And from Jerusalem, the gospel shall go from here to Samaria. And then it will overflow into and throughout Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So God is going to begin doing a new work outside of Israel in an ancient city called Antioch. In Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, we read this. And actually, I'm going to give you the first life lesson here. After a powerful move of God, know this, the enemy will always attack. Now, look how it happened. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem," so he had been with Cornelius, now he's come back to Jerusalem, "those of the circumcision," now this would have been believers, Jewish believers in Jesus, but they're called those of the circumcision. That means they're very religious, observant Jewish believers, contended with him. They're arguing with him. He's coming back to give this great news. And they're arguing with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and you ate with them?" So look at this. Peter no sooner returned to Jerusalem, where he is met by this strong religious party from Jerusalem, and they literally rebuked him. "You did what?" And they attacked him. But what I want to make a note of here is, where do you think this attack was coming from? Yes, it was coming from men. It was coming from religious men, even from believers. But who is behind all of that? The enemy is coming after Peter, because now, literally an explosion, the gospel could literally go around the world, and the enemy knows it. That after God has moved in your life, the enemy will always come in to challenge him and to resist the new work of God. And if that happens, don't draw into fear saying, "Uh-oh, I did something wrong." Let it be confirmation you did something right. When you're under the attack of the enemy, that means something good is happening, right? So now, beginning in verses 19 through 21, look at this. God creates a new stream of ministry from the city of Antioch. Look with me, beginning in verse 19. "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen," so that would have been back in Jerusalem, "traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch," which is up in Syria, "preaching the word to no one but the Jews only." So because of the persecution in Jerusalem, Jewish believers scattered, throughout the Roman world. They went to Phoenicia, they went to Cyprus, they went up into Antioch, which is in modern-day Syria. But they only preached to Jews and only the Jewish people. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So what I want you to realize is, now that the door has been opened and now that Cornelius has been saved, they go up to Antioch and they wanted to keep it to the Jews, but now God says, nope, I'm opening the door to all the Gentiles. So listen to this. God is pouring new wine into a new wineskin. Jesus said during the Gospels, he said, you cannot pour new wine into an old wineskin. Because if you pour new wine into an old wineskin, the old wineskin that is brittle and gets hardened will burst. It'll break. And then you'll lose the wineskin and the new wine. It'll just be lost and all over the floor. So he said, you have to put new wine into a new wineskin. New wine is fermenting. It's dynamic. It's growing powerfully from within. So what the Holy Spirit is doing is saying, look, I poured my spirit out in Jerusalem, and I poured it out upon Judea and even Samaria within the land of Israel. But now as you go share the gospel in all these Gentile cities and lands, I'm pouring new wine. I'm going to save Gentiles who don't have to become Jews in order to get saved. They can remain a Gentile and still believe in Jesus as the Savior and be washed and cleansed and forgiven, and they become your new brothers and sisters in the family of God. Can I hear an amen on that? God's out of the box. New wine. Now, let me tell you just a little bit about Antioch. With a population of 500,000, Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome and then Alexandria. It had some of the most magnificent buildings of the ancient world. And so it was called Antioch, the Golden Queen of the East. It was a busy port center. It was a luxurious culture. It attracted people from all over the Roman world, including wealthy Roman officials who spent their days spending their money, their retirement, and all of the fun and the festivities and the music and the races and gambling and all the rest of it. But Antioch was also not only cosmopolitan, it was a very worldly, fleshly, sinful city. They not only had the Greek gods and the Roman gods and the Syrian gods, but they had one local shrine dedicated to the goddess Daphne that had all kinds of immorality involved in its practices, and that also brought people from all over the world. And I want you to know this, here, where the gods of antiquity and gods and goddesses of every kind of evil and immorality, the Lord said, that's where I'm going to bring my sons and my daughters, and they're going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God planned it. In fact, the church, rather than being afraid of being overwhelmed by this, they said, oh my goodness. As they walked the streets, they said, do you realize how ripe this place is for the gospel? Because they could look into the eyes of every Roman man and woman and Greek, let alone Syrian, and find out they were empty inside. They were lost inside. They had nothing going on. They were not satisfied. They had not found what they were looking for. And so now the Lord has sent men and women to bring the powerful, beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ that will literally bring a transformation of that city. So look at this. There are lost people that God is interested in discovering and finding and bringing into the kingdom. All right, let's look at the final verses 22 through 25. It says, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they then sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch, hundreds of miles away. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, wow, there's people coming to the Lord, Romans coming to the Lord, Greeks coming to the Lord, Syrians coming to the Lord. This church was growing rapidly. It was building and it was becoming very powerful. He was glad and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So Barnabas was an encourager. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. A thriving, growing, healthy church. And then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, this is beautiful and it's very powerful. And I want to just say this. More than making converts, we are called to make disciples. When Barnabas saw, wow, there's a revival happening. This church is growing. And it's got all kinds of different people from all different classes, all different backgrounds, all different nationalities. And it's being talked about all throughout Antioch. And Barnabas started ministering to them and encouraging them. But he realized, I need somebody that can reach the Jewish people, but also can speak to the Gentile people. And he goes, I know just the guy, Saul of Tarsus. Now, what I want you to realize is when this story happens, we were with Saul just before we started looking at Peter. You know how Saul went home to Tarsus? He's been gone for about 11 years. We are not told what Saul did during those 11 years. We know that he spent 2 or 3 years in Arabia and the Holy Spirit downloaded a bunch of stuff to him. So, okay, so that brings us to maybe 8 or 9 years left that are there. He's probably witnessing and sharing to Jews and Gentiles or whatever. But Barnabas said, we need that guy, Saul. So he brought Saul and Saul and Barnabas. How many of you would love to have Saul and Barnabas as your pastor and assistant pastor? I mean, that'd be great, right? For a whole year. And he taught them. And it was a powerful and a growing church community. And then Antioch sent Paul and then Barnabas and later a guy named Silas and a guy named Timothy on these missionary journeys. But the base of the operation and of this missionary movement that would literally light the Roman world on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Roman world would be turned on its head. It would be turned inside out. Started from the church in Antioch. God was pouring new wine into a new wineskin, and the lost from every nation, language, kindred, and tribe were being brought to the Lord. This city was filled with lost people, empty people, disillusioned people that were ripe for the gospel.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. You may not realize how much your comments mean to us here at Maranatha Radio. They're important. We so appreciate it when we hear from our listeners.
Hello, Pastor Ray. I've been listening to your program for about 2 weeks now, and what a godsend your teaching has been. My story is probably like many others. I knew of Jesus when I was young, but as I grew older, I put him aside. I began to experience problems like emptiness, anger, etc., you know, all the requirements for Prozac. After the umpteenth letdown and several more bad choices, God decided to bless me anyway with the greatest earthly blessing ever. The true and unconditional love of my husband. I want to thank you for sharing the unconditional love of God with your listeners every day.
It's our number one goal to bless listeners and to draw them closer to the Lord as they listen to these studies. So when we hear confirmation of the impact of the program, it's encouraging and provides vital confirmation. If you have a comment to share, please don't keep it to yourself. Write a few words today. Send them to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So here's what I want to share with you. We are living in a very similar time, and I just want to say this. You know, God has been speaking and pressing on my heart. You know, it's not just about getting converts. It is about making disciples. The Lord wants to make disciples. you a disciple, and then he wants you to make others into not just believers or converts, but into disciples. The early church was a model that the church that Jesus Christ builds is a disciple-making venture. The church is about making disciples. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And often we hear first, oh, Jesus is Savior, which is true, and now I'm saved, and so then if you want, you become more spiritual, and you say, I want, maybe I'll become a disciple. But quite honestly, you don't get to choose. So let me just say this. Say this after me. Jesus is my Savior. And Jesus is my Lord. So Jesus, you need to know from the beginning, he's not only Savior, but he's Savior and Lord. And Lord means he's the boss. And it means that we obey him. We don't get to think about it or decide, well, let me understand it a little better and I'll consider it. But we are to obey him from the beginning. So I want to just give you a couple of quick points and we'll wrap it up. And again, I'm dropping some seeds that we're going to be watering over the next few months and what God is going to be doing in and amongst us. So what is God's love language to mankind? Grace and mercy are God's love language to mankind. Hallelujah. Is that good or what? Grace is... So it's like a two-sided coin. Grace is God giving you what you can't ever earn or deserve. And God goes, I love you so much. The basic meaning of grace is a gift. God says, I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you grace. And every day you are bathed in the grace of God. The other side of the coin is his other language is mercy. So if grace is giving you what you don't deserve, mercy is not giving you what you actually do deserve. How many would love to say amen to that? Like separation from God, that's what we deserve. How many are glad that his mercies are new morning by morning? So think about this. Between God's grace, he gives me what I don't deserve, and his mercy doesn't give me what I do deserve, fallen mankind, we're covered for all of eternity. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful language. Heavenly Father, your language of grace and mercy. But now let's flip the coin and say, well, what about us? What is our love language to God? And let me put it to you from the scriptures. Our love language to God is obedience. Read with me 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. So in the New Testament, let's read it. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So his commandments are, look, and the whole thing, it's not about rules and regulations, that's religion. It is a father. Every command from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation and everything in between is your father giving you loving wisdom, counsel, advice, saying, son, do you want to be happy? Do you want to be fulfilled? Do you want to be the most blessed you could possibly be? Would you like to have your mind blown with how good your life can be? Then do this and you'll be right in the center of my will. I won't hold anything back from you. And if I tell you don't do something, it's not because I arbitrarily just don't want you to do it. It's because I know that it will hurt you, wound you, rip you off, deceive you, and you'll end up empty and not happy. So that's the way it is. God's word and God's will are for you to be the most fulfilled, happy, loving, joyful, peaceful human being, child of God on the planet. Amen? So we want to obey the Lord. So let's give you one more here. We must then be willing to leave the 99 and find the one that is lost. I won't look at it, but I'll just remind you of the scripture in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Jesus said that the good shepherd, he'll leave the 99 that are in the pen because he wants to go find the one that is lost. That's where we are today. Can I tell you, look, life is short, and then we go stand before God. So what is important then about life? And I believe that the focus of the Father for us and for the church in this moment, in this hour, with all the craziness going on in the world, more than building things and accomplishing things and doing things, our Father's heart is that not one would be lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I just feel the heart of the shepherd saying, there are people that are distracted by the problems, whether economically or physically with the virus or politically or all the craziness that's going on, and yet they're lost and they're empty. And we have the gift of eternal life. May God then anoint us and bless us and give us the heart that will reach those who are lost so that they, like us, can be found and have the hope of eternal life. Amen? You know, I went through, and I think we're still experiencing the afterglow of the revival called the Jesus people. And I'll tell you, one of the things about the Jesus people was that it didn't matter who you were or how long you'd known the Lord, you wanted to share Jesus with people because he was so awesome. He was just so amazing, and salvation was just so great. So would you bow your heads, and I want to just pray for us and ask the Lord to give us his heart. It's a download that will come from his heart. And when you feel the download, you'll begin feeling what the Father feels. For those who are lost that you know, that you love, that are in your family, that are friends or coworkers or neighbors or classmates or roommates, whatever it may be, but a heart for the lost. And that's a sign of the moving of the Holy Spirit when the lost are brought into the love of Jesus. So gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray. We pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there was Peter in a new environment, and he didn't realize this Cornelius guy had been looking for a relationship with you for a long time. He didn't know what to do. He was doing everything he knew to do. He was a good man. He gave alms. He fasted even. But he was lost. He was empty. He didn't have any divine connection. He was looking, but he had not, and Peter had it. And you took away Peter's pride and his prejudice and the box he had put you in. And you opened his eyes that it was a man, just like Peter, that needed love, that needed forgiveness, that needed Jesus, just like Peter did. And Lord, through an angel on one end and a vision on the other end, you connected them, and a beautiful explosion of salvation came. And I thank you that now, even in Antioch, that began to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until finally they said, what's happening in Antioch is so awesome and so cool. We need to send Paul and a couple of guys with him and light fires and share the gospel with the lost all over the Roman world. The world has never been the same. Do it again, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Ray Bentley as he closes today's study in Acts chapter 11. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled, A New Stream of Ministry. If you missed any part of the message, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you get to the homepage, you can leave a tribute to Pastor Ray's life and service to the Lord. And also click the word media, and you'll see the words watch, radio, and Devo. Three engaging ways you can enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's books there as well. His final book is The Days of Noah, a prophetic fiction novel, part of the Elijah Chronicles series. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.